Right. Welcome to the show on a Tuesday night. You're in plain sight, Jeremy, from Kentucky on Republic Broadcasting Network. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, find that upper left-hand menu button, and then you will notice a donate button in the right-hand corner of that menu page. Smash said donate button and send much-needed money. Slice yourself off a hunk of burning free speech, and you get a free t-shirt with every $100 that you spend on purchasing free speech. You can also mail your donation in to Public Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Hit us up on chat, inplainsight.chatango.com, site spelled S-I-T-E, set up by our very own Mer Bailey. Thanks, Mer. And tonight is Tuesday, and you know what Tuesday is. Tuesday, we are joined by the one, the only Cape Crusader from the underground secret Burbank studios. We have Dr. Patrick Slattery.
Holy, here we go again, Batman. Holy whiskers! Holy birthday cake! Holy headache! Holy ball and chain! Holy triple feature! Holy slip disc!
Is it 6'3 or 6'4 this week? How tall are you right now?
Well, I've been carrying around a heavy burden, and it smushed me down to 6'3.
Oh.
Heavy burdens. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hunka heavy burdens. That was Elvis Presley's last big song, by the way, Burning Love.
Yeah, I saw recordings of that. That was pretty sad. He was real bloated. Didn't even look like himself.
Yeah.
You know who does look like themselves is Joe Biden. He looks exactly like the old dementia-ridden
senile bastard. I am on the Biden bus. But, you know, I don't want Joe Biden to go down in history as the man that gave 330 million Americans chlamydia. But
ouch.
That's probably what's going to happen.
Sounds like a really bad weekend at Woodstock back in 69.
Well, so, I mean, I don't know about Woodstock. I wasn't at Woodstock. I was at the Donna Summer concert in 1981, I guess. And somebody was totally trying to Me Too me, and I was always confused whether it was Kirsten Gillibrand or Chlamydia Harris. And you might say, well, they're not even the same color, but I don't see color. I'm one of these colorblind conservatives, and I can recognize Kirsten Gillibrand. I know she's white because she fades into the background in the cream cheese aisle of your local supermarket. And Chlamydia Harris. People tell me she's an Aborigine, and I believe her because I saw her roasting a wallaby down by the billabong. So, but they totally tried to Me Too me, and you know, there was like, hey sailor, how's it going? You want a good time? And I was like, what does that even mean? And I think it's time we see what's going on with Mario Cuomo's son. And they're getting on him with the Me Too stuff. And it's about time. I mean, Willie Brown, she totally Me Too'd Willie Brown. And she Me Too'd Bo Biden and a whole bunch of other people. And it's we got to go after chlamydia. We don't want chlamydia because Joe Biden's not going to last forever. And we got to get her out and get a vacancy in the vice presidency. And then who knows what will happen. But anyway, that's my thing. We got to get rid of chlamydia. We got to cure this case of chlamydia before Biden gets removed from office for his senility. So I'm not talking about his senility right now, which is pretty hard to avoid.
It's very hard to avoid, especially in Houston, where he did a speech. And some of the media is sticking up for him, and some of the media is pretty much calling him out. It's interesting how that goes. Western Journal, I've never heard of Western Journal, but I just ran across this. This is on down in the prep a little bit. Watch as Biden becomes visibly confused mid-speech, says, "What am I doing here?" President Joe Biden lost his way last week during the Texas speech, prompting a dose of online ridicule. Boston Biden was in Houston Friday, speaking at a federal emergency management agency vaccination facility, according to the White House. A transcript of Biden's remarks showed that he had trouble navigating his way through the list of officials he was supposed to mention. Are you seeing some of the media turning on old slow Joe?
Yeah, and that's scary. It's scary that they're turning on him, because it just shows that he was a vector. He was a vector for the establishment to get in their person, which is Chlamydia Harris, who nobody likes. Nobody voted for her. Nobody likes her. And so all of a sudden, you know, it's one thing to have like Joe Biden, who was a known factor, who maybe, you know, 40-something percent of people actually did vote for. And when I say a known factor, I mean people know the name. They kept him in the basement. But it's one thing to have a fake election, and to have a fake election where Joe Biden beats Donald Trump. But it's another thing to have a fake election and then just have some like Aborigine woman that you drag from the billabong and say, this is your new leader. I mean, I'm serious when I say this. Is anybody really, would anybody, I shouldn't say anybody, how many people would accept Chlamydia Harris as a legitimate president? As well, a question, how many people do you think?
Probably about a fourth of the electorate, because that seems to be the ones who are so Trump derangement syndrome that they'll accept anything or anybody, any means necessary. The end justifies the means. Probably about a fourth, but no more. Everyone else is going to be like, what's going on here? Every normal Democrat knows that, you know, Harris was destroyed by Gabbard, and that Bernie had the nomination stolen from him.
Mm.
This whole thing is just a farce. Every normal Democrat knows that. I think people just keep quiet because they kind of get on this, at least it's not Trump thing. And but about a fourth of them are radical enough just to say it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who it is or how they get there.
So how many, again, a question, maybe we should have the Harris polling people, or, you know, the Zogby polling people ask these questions. But how many people know anything about Chlamydia Harris other than the identity politics stuff, that she's a woman and, you know, she's half Indian and half Jamaican, which, by the way, is how you make, that's the recipe for making Aborigines.
Mm. But she's actually African-American woman.
Who knows anything about her? How many people would be able to say what she was before her 2-year or 4-year stint as a senator?
Oh, nobody.
I mean, do people know anything about her? And, you know, she's been married, but when did she get married? I think she got married in 2014 or 2015. It's fairly recently. She's married to this Jewish guy. She apparently was carrying on with Beau Biden, Joe's son, which is why Joe was so taken aback when she said, "Well, personally, I don't think you're a racist, but you've done a lot of really racist things." She said that in the debate. That little girl on the bus, that was me. So, I mean, how many people know anything about her? And I would say very few people know really anything about her. How many people know about her carrying on with Willie Brown, her sleeping her way into politics?
The people that do not have a short memory, because that was all brought out during the campaign, if you remember. I saw article after article about Kabbalah Heretz and Willie Brown. But, you know, people have short memories and they don't remember all of that media trash that was thrown out during the Democratic primaries. So I think the majority of people just don't know and don't care. I mean, am I being a little black-pilling there by painting the word as apathetic?
Well, so there, I think there are a lot of people who, like you said, had Trump derangement syndrome, voted for Joe Biden just because he's not Trump. I mean, I know some people who've got any Democrat 2020 bumper sticker on their car, and which is stupid. And I'm ashamed to admit I know these people who are otherwise nice, but kind of nerdy and whatever. But so that you have those people, and there a lot of these people who voted for Biden are, I guess they're just going to try to whistle past the graveyard. They're probably going to try to stop paying attention because they don't want to have been responsible for the disaster that they're getting us into. But on the other hand, I think you have people, because I know people like this, who were never particularly interested in politics, but can't help but noticing that everything is going insane, whether it's because of the masks and the shutdowns and, you know, shutting the schools and teaching kids to be trannies, or whether it's because of the Black Lives Matter riots that were being called peaceful, but yeah, don't believe your lying eyes. You live close enough to it to see what's actually going on, what's going on in your cities, but you're supposed to pretend it's peaceful, or, you know, the fake election, so many things. And there are people who were pretty apathetic, who are not, who now are looking around and saying, this is insane. So I don't know. We're entering into interesting times.
Interesting times indeed, where the new domestic terror threat are white people. And this is something you sent just a while ago in part of the prep, the USA Today article. Do you want to roll that one out for us? It was pretty interesting. FBI chasing 2,000 domestic terror.
Well, okay, so Christopher Wray, and I guess there's the article I sent you and a related article that you sent me, but Christopher Wray was testifying in front of the Senate today, or answering questions. I don't know if it was sworn testimony. And he's, you know, it, just think of this, because the two groups, he was saying there's no Antifa. We haven't found any Antifa. We're not investing any Antifa. There were no Antifa at the Capitol. And I don't think the Antifa had a huge presence, but I know near where Jason and I were standing, we heard the chant, F Antifa, F Antifa. And then later I was able to identify video footage from that that was taken from a different angle. And you could see what they were chanting at was somebody who they assumed to be Antifa. Two people were busting in windows, and the Trump people stopped them and then started chanting that. And there was something similar that happened you know, at some other windows in another part of the Capitol. So there, and of course, you know, so that was presumably Antifa. At least it was Trump people identifying vandals who they assumed to be Antifa, probably correctly so, and stopping them. And then, of course, we know the John Sullivan, whether you're going to call him Antifa or Black Lives Matter, he was one of these radical leftists. And of course, he was being filmed egging people on. He was standing just 6 feet away when Ashley Babbitt was shot, and then went on Anderson Cooper's show to talk about it. So there were no radical leftists there who were participating in this. I mean, he was on CNN for gosh darn sake. So, but then the other question is, the groups that have been identified as taking part in this as a group, the Proud Boys and the Oath Keepers. Well, guess what? The Oath Keepers is led by a career FBI agent, okay? And Antifa is led by somebody who's been an FBI informant since 2012. And so did any of the senators, and I don't know, if it wouldn't be reported in by the USA Today, but are any senators going to say, well, these guys work for you. How come you didn't, you know, why are you saying you don't know anything about it? Well, these guys worked for you. The question isn't, did you know anything about it? The question is, when did you order this? That's really the question.
Yeah. Yeah, and we all know that the Antifa is just a wing of the FBI. So,
hello?
Hey, Patrick, can you hear me?
Okay.
Patrick.
Yeah.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you now. Maybe my SpongeBob earphones aren't working.
You're not remodeling your house while you're doing the show, are you?
No. I'm sitting here, but for audio quality, I thought rather than using a speaker, I'd use earphones. And the only ones I have available are SpongeBob earphones, which might have a short in them.
Patrick, you've got classy coming out of both ears.
No, I've got SpongeBob hands on coming out of both ears.
You know, something else I found very fascinating, and it's in some of the prep that I sent. That we could delve into probably a little more on your show, is that they're actually classifying people who push QAnon theories to be domestic terrorists. Did you see that?
Yeah, I mean, no, I didn't see that, but I've heard stuff like that. By the way, you know that the day after tomorrow is going to be the reinstatement of the Republic Day, and Trump is going to triumphantly return as the 19th president of the United States.
I have my Trump t-shirt on ready just in case that happens.
Yeah.
I'm going to don that.
Yeah. He'll have military escorts and everything. It's going to be great.
The 19th president, because we're going to go back before the Making America a Corporation deal.
Right. And, you know, we've been operating under British maritime law ever since. And if you know that, you can go into court and you can say, hey, you're charging me under maritime law, but this is the land, so I want to be charged under, you know, you can't charge me under the law of the land, or something like that. It works every time, so I'm told.
I'm going to try that next time I get a speeding ticket.
Yeah.
I'll let you know.
Speeding on the land. You can't charge me under the land law of the sea.
But isn't that, I mean, we're being a little facetious, but like, it's not, I mean, they are actually talking about, you know, domestic terrorism being those who push QAnon.
And when you get down to it, I mean, that is crazier. The people who are talking about QAnon being domestic terrorist threat are a lot crazier than the people who are talking about the United States being a corporation, when you get down to it.
And this was in the Stormer article that we'll get into probably either in this show or yours. 4,900 troops on high alert due to QAnon theory. That Trump will come. Literally, the 4,900 troops are still at the Capitol because of the QAnon theories.
That is retarded, because the whole point of QAnon is to have the boomers think that, oh, everything's fine. All we have to do is stay out of the way.
Well, let's get into this more on the other side, and we have callers here on In Plain Sight with a Dynamic Duo. We'll do that. I can feel the thunderstorms
inside. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of...
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Talk Right, the conservative app offered by TalkStream Live that caters exclusively to the conservative talk radio community. Here you'll see only talk shows and podcasts from the conservative right, all the big broadcast names and online digital shows in one place. Talk Right makes it easy to find all your favorite conservative talkers with all the upscale features you come to expect from TalkStream Live. Keep up with the fast-paced political world. Download Talk Right today from Google Play or the App Store.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Awake every morning and the cold winds cover me. All I've got's a ghost of what could be. If you could see the lights shine in front of me.
All right. If you can see the lights. Welcome back. It's not in-depth political commentary with a dynamic duo. And taking your calls, we got William from Montana up first. William, welcome to the show.
Good evening, Jeremy and Patrick.
Good evening.
I think people might accuse me of being a little disingenuous if I talk about how I am really concerned whether she eats wallaby with lots of garlic. She can't be all bad if she does. And that's kind of my litmus test.
She didn't smell that good. She didn't smell like garlic.
Yeah. But the thing I don't like, and this is where people accuse me of being disingenuous, I've been eating a lot of venison, a lot of elk, really, really good Angus. But I don't like people taking wallabies and dressing them up with boxing gloves, you know, and putting on these little shows out in the outback. I really do stand up for animal rights, mm-hmm. and that type of indignity shouldn't happen to anyone. I'm sure you have similar sensibilities.
Absolutely.
Is that not true?
No, I'm fully on board with you.
Good, good.
And being dog lovers, Patrick and I, you know, definitely for animal rights. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sort of more, or I have been in my life, I'm more of a cat lover. And I even love the cats up here in Montana because I saw one in a truck not too long ago, and it was a big F-250, and they had to lay this cat in the truck bed diagonally. It was at a taxidermist, and I stopped, and they said, "Hey, you want to see a cat?" And I said, "Yeah, I love cats." And I peeked into the back of the truck, and I thought, And I've had one of these follow me, literally, when I was out fishing for whitefish. And he wasn't following me. He was trying to get down to the river so I could sort of get him a nice little deer to eat. But when you see a big, you know, mountain lion footprint on top of one of yours that you just laid down about 20 minutes ago, it really sparks you up. So anyway, that's pretty much my experience, and I deeply appreciate people who keep track of people and hold them to high standards. And that's why I like your show, and that's why I try never to miss anything that Patrick does in his incredible, impeccable analysis. So,
well, thank you.
That's it tonight, and good luck to you guys, and I'm going to go catch some Z's. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Hey, thanks a lot for the call, William. Yeah, we appreciate it. And, yeah, that's a little off-putting to see wild animals right on your tracks. I mean, I would carry a weapon in certain situations, even in Kentucky where I'm out in the wild, because, you know, we have them wildcats and whatnot. So while I appreciate animal rights, I don't want one to maul me, and I would definitely be cautious with that. But, yeah, Patrick, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I share those sentiments. Now, I don't go to the PETA extreme, and while I'm sure elephants or lions, tigers would rather be in the wild, some animals have such limited habitat that really, in some cases, being a circus animal, being a circus elephant, especially the Asian elephants, which are domestic animals anyway, that might just be their best bet at survival. You know, keeping their numbers up. So I'm not an extremist about it, but animals do have a lot of dignity, and even pet dogs have incredible dignity. Drinking out of the toilet, whatever, but still they do it with dignity.
Well, if they're drinking out of the toilet, then you're not keeping enough fresh water around the house.
Or they're too lazy to go downstairs to get it.
But when it comes to lions and tigers and bears, oh my, yeah, you know, we got to give them their space and not encroach on their territories. You know who else was a big animal rights activist? Was Uncle.
Hey, our uncle, that's right. And he loved dogs, he loved animals. Yep. He was a vegetarian, too.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
Really bringing the left in there, bringing the left talking points in there with the right. Get you uncle's policies, you know.
But, very, I guess he's pretty misunderstood. But
we've got a break coming up, and we'll do more calls on the other side here on the Endpoint Side.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Welcome back to the show, In Plain Sight, on your Tuesday night, superb, stellar political commentary and analysis with the dynamic duo, Boy Wonder here, with Cape Crusader coming in at 6'3" today and 234.5 pounds of raw political commentary brawn, crime-fighting brawn, and we're going to our callers. Next, we have Pat from North Carolina. Pat, welcome to the show.
How's it going, guys? Dr. Slattery, sorry for the crappy call earlier. But you were mentioning the...
it was good.
It's a lot of miscommunication, but it's okay. But you were talking to, just related to tonight's show, the cure to chlamydia. And... it'd be Wikipedia that's azithromycin. And eventually, I'm not sure the three scientists from whatever European country who created it are Jewish, but, you know, it ended up in Pfizer's hands. I grew up next to Pfizer and Groton, but, you know, that's kind of how I feel about our political situation. I was going to ask you guys... two questions, but I also wanted to bring up this New York Post article I saw today, so I'll just maybe refine it to one, and that would be the, you know, in our society, infanticide is, you know, celebrated, but I'm starting to think that maybe eldercide might be a little bit more practical. But if you had to choose between the two, infanticide or eldercide, I mean, obviously our society and the Jews push us towards having abortions, push us towards, you know, destroying families and, you know, leaving the infant behind. But I'm thinking in today's society, it makes more financial and moral sense to lean towards eldercide. Obviously, the choice would be neither. But I was just... trying to get your opinion on that before I was going to ask you guys if you saw the New York Post article about the Polly Thruple making history as three dads appear on one birth certificate.
Okay. So what do we do first, Jeremy?
Well, as far as, yeah, of course, the choice would be to neither one, but in a healthy society, you take care of your infants, and when the elderly are too old to take care of themselves, you move them in with you. That's been the practice of healthy societies for millennia. But as far as that New York Times article, what did you say it was, Pat? New York Post or New York Times?
I might be wrong. It's either the New York Post. I think it's the New York Post. I don't think it's the New York Times by any means. I saw it on my feed on Apple, but it was just like this post about these three gay dads making history by putting their names on one birth certificate. And I just thought that was a comedic subject that I could just rip apart if you wanted me to. But I thought maybe the infanticide, eldercide question might be interesting given the COVID situation. But yeah, we can rip apart that article too. I mean, obviously all three dads are white. There's never going to be a time where three black dads put that name on the birth certificate. Like, let's get serious, you know? And then yeah. Why even headline? Why would the New York Post even headline that? Or the New York, I doubt the New York Times would headline that. They're too Jewy, but the New York Post would. But why? The New York Post wouldn't ask why the population in Harlem never changes, and that's because every time a black baby is born, a black man leaves town. But, you know, they're quick to celebrate the, three white guys making history by putting their names on a birth certificate for some baby they kidnapped.
Yeah, and that all goes toward the victimization of our children is... That plus, you know, opening up adoption for LGBTQ, that's been a headline recently. They're really victimizing our youth. And do you really think these three gay men are going to provide a traditional home life for these young boys especially when they hit adolescence? I don't think so. I think it's an avenue of gay victimization of these young boys is what I think it is. Patrick, hit it up.
Well, okay, just regarding the infanticide, eldercide thing, which obviously, you don't want any of that. But to take a completely unemotional look at the economic value of life at different ages, you know, when a newborn baby, on the one hand, you hope to get a career's worth, an adult's career's worth of economic return on an investment of, 20 years or so of education, right? And, it's a little bit of a gamble. With the old retired person, they're not working anymore, and you look at them and say, well, I'm not getting anything out of them, but I'm going to get a lot of expense because there's a lot of a lot of expense is in the youth and in the elder years. And so one might say, well, what's then the economic value of a retired person? But an economic value of a retired person, just from a kind of purely clinical, emotionless point of view, is that, they are a billboard for people who are working that, you work hard and then eventually you're going to be able to relax and retire. Or even when you're very old, as long as you want to live, people are going to help you, you're going to be helped along. And so can you imagine what society would be like if, once you hit retirement age, you're just... executed or whatever, you're just left out in the cold. So that's my thought on that. And the same with handicapped people might be a drain on society, but there are people who love the handicapped person and or people who might become handicapped because you never know what's going to happen to you in the future. And so that's
well,
you feel better about working if you think that when this happens to you, somebody's going to take care of you.
And in a healthy society where we're not giving our jobs away to the third world, you would have an economic atmosphere where it would be feasible to take care of the handicapped and the elderly, and it wouldn't be a drain. I remember just 20 years ago, 25 years ago, you know, we had a pretty healthy society. And here in my small town, we had tire factories and people had money flowing, and it wasn't a big deal to take care of the elderly or the handicapped. So I think they're creating a situation where it is a burden to take care of these individuals. And it's not their fault. It's the fault of the governments for selling our jobs overseas and creating an environment where we're struggling economically. The middle class is struggling just to make it. So I think those are very good thoughts.
I would agree. I would think it's an attack on the family. And I would also agree with Dr. Slattery on the point that, no, we don't need to execute the elderly. And that would be horrible. But, you know, one thing we have in common, Jeremy, is both our moms are nurses in nursing homes. And so, like, I grew up around that atmosphere and that depressing state. And I've actually, you know, met people who've committed suicide to avoid, especially around retirement age, the expense on their children, the expense on, you know, their families with that drain, because it is a financial drain. Like, not to lie, and I don't think suicide is the answer or eldercide is the answer either, nor do I think abortion is ever the answer. But I was just getting to the point that the expenses, like you mentioned, are overwhelming, and it's almost like someone mentioned before, it's literally the family versus the government. And no, it was just interesting. I thought you guys might like that subject. It's more, you know, put together than some of my other rants, but you know, I appreciate it. I love you guys, and I don't want to take any more of your time. Sorry, I'm not as funny tonight. Have anything else?
We'll give you a pass on that. Be funny next time. Appreciate your call.
Yeah, I'll try to. Yep, take it easy, guys.
All right, next, Mark from Texas. Mark, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
Hey, man, so many thoughts. You know, as far as Pat, yeah, my dad had a really bad fall about 2 years ago. And broke his leg and... you know, a lot of problems with his vertebrae, and he ended up in a wheelchair. So, man, I have a whole new respect for handicap that I didn't have before. And as far as William, man, I was... celebrating Y2K with the high society girlfriend. And New Year's Day, we went out to the top of the mountain there in Cloudcroft. And I needed to take a pee. She was sitting on a log doing her New Year's resolutions or some bullshit. And, and it was, I looked down, I was taking a pee, and I was like, damn, those are mountain lion tracks. So I told Sweetie, hey, we need to probably move on. You know, I saw a bone look like I don't know, man, it was a deer or elk bone. And, you know, I was like, we need to get out of here, sweetheart. So I do have a healthy respect and love to follow bears whenever I get a chance, especially at night when they're dumpster diving. They're magnificent creatures. But as far as Cuomo, real quick, you know, as soon as I heard the media was on him, you know, the charges were sticking, I immediately thought of our old battle axe, Hillary. man. There can only be one stud from New York, and it's Hillary. And I just think that she's not done. And I just have a feeling she's coming back. Oh, that's about all I had on my mind. My Jets.
We appreciate the call, Mark. And, yeah, it could be the return of the Hildebeest. You never know.
Who was it? It was somebody who was on CNN once, I guess a Democratic political analyst or something, when somebody said something about Hillary coming back. She said, yeah, just like herpes. I don't think she was ever invited back on again, but she compared Hillary to herpes.
Yeah, I hate that.
She's dead. She's coming back. I mean, unless she's 6 foot under, you know, you're not going to stop her.
Well, that could very well be the next VP once chlamydia takes over. Chlamydia and herpes.
Oh, God. We're all screwed now.
Yeah, thanks all we need now is gonorrhea.
Well, we can clap for them.
Well, maybe that's Romney, or I don't know.
Yeah, Romney will be clapping for them.
Yeah, well, maybe he has the gonorrhea.
He's got the clap.
All right.
Love you guys. Later.
Thanks a lot, Mark. And we got Chris from Vegas. Oh, Chris from Vegas dropped. According to Mike, Chris, call back. Blue Moon from California. Blue Moon, welcome to the show.
Hello. Good evening, gentlemen. I don't know.
I saw you standing alone.
I don't know. What?
Blue Moon.
Yes.
I saw you standing alone.
Yes, that's why I call myself Blue Moon, because I just come out very rarely once in a while. But I've been calling your Jeremy's show a bit lately. I tried Stormfront, I think, once or twice. It was always, you know, I waited forever and I gave up. And I think I talked to you, Patrick, actually, a long time ago when I started listening to these shows. We talked about Neanderthals. You probably don't remember. I call under a different name. You know. The Blue Moon is my latest. Anyway, yes, the chlamydia and the herpes, that's pretty good. We're really in trouble, aren't we?
Between chlamydia and herpes. Class act.
Anyway, Patrick, since I have a lot of things I like to say, but since you're there, you know, I kind of wonder if everybody's okay. I wonder how Patrick Little is doing. I know you used to talk to him. I used to call him our Siegfried, who was fearless, our fearless hero, you know?
Oh, yeah. He's our brave Marine. He calls me from time to time. Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm glad to hear that. You don't have to say anything else. I just want to know everything's okay. What about Dr. Hill, the man with a gorgeous voice? I was in love with his voice.
Yeah, he's huge, too. He's like, what, 6'8" or something? He's an enormous, man.
I would like to be
I think he's doing fine.
Okay. And Dr. Black, Duke talks to him. Well?
Excuse me?
Well, that's good. Don Black is doing okay?
Well, I think he's out of the hospital. I'm not as much in the loop on that as I'd like to be.
What about, I really enjoyed when you had Mark Dankoff. Why don't you have him on your show anymore?
Oh, he was on last Friday, and he'll be coming on again probably this week.
Where can I listen to him if he's not on your show?
He was on Andy Hitchcock's show every Monday for a while, but now they've juggled their schedule a bit, so I'm not sure. And then he gets on. Check out NationalBugle.com because he posts on NationalBugle.com, and he's often interviewed on Press TV or on RT, places like that.
Right.
And so when he does,
he'll do the audio. I'm actually legally blind, Patrick, so that's why I'm always on audio. I'm always listening. I know you always talk about your big post or whatever you call it there, the big board. I should look at that. What about Don Advo?
Don Advo? I still hear from him. I heard from him today, as a matter of fact, and I'm I'm trying to get him on my show, but there is a time zone thing. He's out in California.
Yeah, hey, we got a break.
Okay. I miss all these guys. Am I out of time? I had so many things to say, but am I out of time?
Break.
I always get cut off.
We'll hold you over.
Cut me off. Oh, okay.
No, we'll hold you over.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an energy planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pad.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite 7-Herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Welcome back to the show, Endpoint Site. We still have Blue Moon. Blue Moon, we got one more caller after you finish up on your comments, and we'll try to get to Ken. Go ahead, Blue Moon.
Well, okay. I'll just say that I'm a big fan of Engelbert Poindexter.
Thank you.
And I really enjoy that, Patrick. I really have listened to all your... Probably all of yours, because sometimes you will replay, you know, things, and I think it's really great. Thank you. Thank you for all the, entertainment you provided.
Well, I'll try to do more of it.
Then you can make a playlist, you know? I can buy your CD.
I need to do that.
And you can put some of Apple Bag's, you know, like his Thor music, and that's really nice, Thor. I apparently I don't really have time to make any more points. I just want to say that, did you know, you guys heard that they went and bombed up, you know, Syria again and killed some Iranians there, some Persians. You know, they did it on Purim, the Jewish day of Purim. They just got to go and kill some people, you know, have some blood sacrifice festival there. This is really sick, you know. Anyway, yeah. Okay. Can I say something else or no? Jeremy? You're in charge.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead, Blue.
Well, I've been having this thought about reparations. You know what, you guys? I'm actually a quarter some kind of American Indian. I'm not sure which one. I did my DNA with National Geographic, but they couldn't really tell me. They said anywhere from the Far East to the Andes. Oh, that was big. Anyway, I've always thought that I think we're the ones entitled to reparations, the American Indians and the Europeans, because we came here on our own, you know. This has been our home for a long time, and it's getting kind of, you know, I guess we could move on to some other new land, but where? It's getting kind of crowded in the world, you know? So I think we're the ones that are entitled to reparations. We don't like these people that were brought here. They didn't come here on their own. They were dragged over here. They should be sent back home. They should be taken back home. We don't like these cannibals and violence, and there's so many places that I feel in this country I can't go anymore and feel safe. So I think we're the ones that deserve the reparations, and it shouldn't be that hard to find out the records, because it's not like thousands of years ago. It was just hundreds of years ago. So we can find who were these slave dealers, the ship owners, and we know who a lot of them are already, you know, and they should be the ones paying reparations to people like us. There you go. I've been wanting to say that for a while, because it makes me real mad when you hear about this stupid reparations business thing. Hey, I'm the one that feels encroached upon. What do you think of that, Patrick?
The devil's always in the detail. I'll have to look at that plan.
I think that's a very good point. Honestly, I really do. I'm not joking. I mean, they've made it unsafe for us. They've made it awful. Look what's happening. Burning down cities, you know, cannibalizing people. There's so much crime that goes on. Black, white. You know that's true. So I want reparations. Okay, I'll take them. Okay, I better stop there because we have another caller.
All right, that Hello. Is the end of the show. And thanks for calling in, Blue Moon. Ken from New York, sorry we didn't get to your call. Call back another time and we'll get to you earlier. Thanks, Patrick, for helping me out on the excellent political commentary on a Tuesday night. And we'll be back tomorrow night on In Plain Sight with Jeremy from Kentucky.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.